Hello.
Hello. Hello, Jay Bearhead. How are you today?
I'm holding in there.
Holding it in there.
I don't know. I admit, like, I'm a little susceptible. Susceptible to art sometimes. And so I've been, see, there's like that new Barbie movie, right?
Sure, yeah.
The one about Barbie.
Hold on, let me just quickly stand up and look out the window really quick. Okay, there it is on a billboard. Yes,
Yeah.
so I know about this.
There it is, being held up on a sign by someone who's dressed half as pastel pinks in a quite a cunty manner, and half 1950s mask drag. Yes, we're all familiar. But it's just like, that tweet about Toy Story? That's kind of how I feel about Barbie.
Which tweet about Toy Story?
The one that's like,
Hold on! Which X about Toy Story?
oh, sorry, you're right. So the X that I'm thinking of is the one that's like, it's Sid from Toy Story gets a bad rap. He was just sitting there like doing his art. He didn't know those motherfuckers was alive. They shouldn't be. That's what I feel about the movie Barbie, where it's like, they didn't know those motherfuckers were alive. They shouldn't be.
Damn, I didn't know there was a greater feminist context around this corporation. There
There
shouldn't
shouldn't be.
be.
I think the my genuine feeling about it all is that it should be it should have leaned more into. I loved when it was campy. I loved when it was goofy. I loved when it was silly, and it should have been that and the parts of the movie that are about existential horror.
Yes. Yeah, that sounds
Because
great.
having a scene where Margaret Robbie as Barbie is bargaining with the concept of becoming a human when you're a concept, and the distinction between a concept and a human, and when a concept, thus by definition, is something that does not have self-awareness and develops awareness, it becomes human. It should have just been like a like Matrix 2. It should have been the Matrix 2 is what I'm saying.
Sure. I mean, they're going for a Matrix 1 thing at the very least with the shoes and
Yeah.
the gag and the bit and the funny.
I think if you're just gonna swing for the fucking fences. Like I do feel like I will say positively, I feel like this movie is our modern day Spice World and Josie and the Pussycats.
Yes, that keeps coming up in discussions about this movie, the talking about it with people I saw it with. It's very Josie and the Pussycats.
Where it's like an awareness that there's only really so much you can do when you're making basically a corporate slop. That the fact that they are even able to push it a little bit into like a cynical direction feels like a victory, but we're kind of living in such a post era of that like, like we're living in the post the Wendy's Twitter clapback era. So you can't just coast by on being cynical. So doing cynical and like heart like goofy campy comedy and like this weird eating your own tail like feminism discussion, and then wrapping it all up by like just making explicit the like existential crisis of the film, and then ending it on a pussy joke.
I like the pussy joke.
No, that's I say that because it's like that's so funny. They just to do all of that, to have this incredible heartfelt scene, and then to end it on a pussy joke, and to not have it only end on a pussy joke, but end on a pussy joke that actually also kind of gets at the themes, that really just like ties a bow on the themes of the movie.
That ending got my stupid fucking ass. I was like, and I know it got you too, Jay, because I know. You and I were thinking the same thing. Oh my God, there's no way it ends with her going to a fucking job interview. There's no way it ends with Girl Boss Barbie. And she walks up to that receptionist and is like, I'm here to see the gynecologist.
She's like, I'm here for my gynecologist.
That was good. I think that this movie always had an impossible needle to thread in terms of trying to kind of keep true to the themes of the Barbie and try to, like, make a concept that a corporation owns into something personable that's, like, understandable, comprehensible. And I think it's kind of smart, the idea that every single Barbie that is bought in the world is, like, an idea that of a woman that wants to be like a full living breathing woman and wants to experience womanhood. That's smart. I also still am kind of tilting my head at the whole of the thing. I don't know if I liked the movie or not. But I was certainly entertained. I think they made a lot of clever choices, and I don't know. There's a lot to like, even if I'm a little bit salted earth on the premise.
I feel that. I feel like where the film gets the weakest is in the things that are in between the two tones of either the more swing for the fences, like, okay, let's take our concept to its logical conclusion, and the tone that predates most of the film, which is child logic. That, I think, is a really great, clever way to do it, is that the whole film, even the real world adults, feel like children playing with dolls.
Right.
Everybody feels like a performance. And then the problem with that is that then they would sometimes like fold that in with jokes that are just very like, this is for the millennials, you get it, you know, like you get it. And that, I think, tonally doesn't work.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's kind of where a lot of the weird, like, mismatch of it goes. Because it's like, so, like their big scheme at the end of, like, oh, we'll just distract the Kens by playing into male ego and all that stuff. That's great. That both ties both ends of that theme to each other. Is a very like girls playing with dolls concept, but also like is a funny concept to like adults. And my problem with it is that in that moment, it kind of ends up breaking the illusion of the fact that the characters are dolls by having them be jokes that like a Twitter adults would make.
Sure. Yeah.
Ryan Gosling's Ken saying, I kind of lost interest in the whole patriarchy thing once I found out it didn't really involve horses, or the bit of him going to the hospital and being like, get me a scalpel. And they're like, I want to talk to a doctor. You are talking to a doctor. Can you get me a scalpel? I'm not getting you a scalpel. That's great. That's like great humor to me.
Right.
The montage of like, we're going to ask them to explain Godfather. It's like, these are characters you like 10 minutes ago in this film, like literally we're too stupid to understand, like their idea of political power was just, we're gonna go in a building and we're gonna say we vote for Ken Land.
yeah.
The irony is that I think those jokes should have been dumber. I think they should have been dumber jokes, because they should have been playing more into this idea of like, boys are dumb and icky.
I mean, the whole movie really should have been that one TikTok account that does like the Precious Moments dolls, like,
yes,
cheating,
yes,
on each other and shooting each other and all that.
Yes, it should have been that. That is the vibe I wanted to be coasting that whole film through. And like I said, I don't think it's like necessarily bad. Like, I don't think that sequence is necessarily air quotes bad. It's just that it's like, oh man, there's so much like other great jokes in this. And then it kind of goes for like really like, it goes for like, if you ask Twitter, what kind of jokes would you have in a Barbie movie? It's like, oh, these are the jokes they would make.
Yeah. And
sorry, if you ask X,
get it right.
I can't. I'm sorry. I can't stop dead.
Stop dead naming her.
Zer.
Zer. God damn it. Anyway, yeah, I think a lot of the problems here, as kind of expected, not a big surprise, probably have something to do with being a bit of a sanitized narrative because it is like a hyper corporate thing. I think it's weird that Will Ferrell is playing another like leadership role character in a toy movie. Again,
I've seen some people call this Lego Movie 3, and it is really indebted to Lego Movie.
Yeah, which is like, I don't know. There's all sorts of ways I feel about that, but it's, I don't. It definitely does something where like the Mattel leadership team is kind of infantile and silly and cartoonish, and then in real life you look up who's part of their leadership team, and it is men. It is 80% men. Their CEO's a man. He actually, their CEO used to be CEO of Maker Studios, which managed, famously, PewDiePie, and his contemporaries. That
explains so much about this movie has the Maker Studio smell all over it. That's also Ray William Johnson Studio.
Yes, it is. Very, very, I mean, countless YouTube, what we call them now, creators. Somehow the fucking Overton window fucking got nudged over on that terminology. But yeah, that's, I don't know, that's just very interesting. A very interesting sort of career journey for Mr. Kreese? Before that, he was working for like a group that was basically producing stuff like Big Brother and Deal or No Deal. I don't know, just like a weird entertainment guy.
That's also part of the issue here is being ideologically imposed to this film.
Yeah, like because it's not good that it exists, and we need to remember that, and I'm sick of being called a party pooper for saying it.
I think the problem with it is that if this was the kind of movie that was made in the era of Spice World and Josie and the Pussycats, it would be, kind of one and done thing. It would be like, here's our jerk off into the thing. So it being weird and iconic and all these things would be fun and funny. Yeah. Part of the reason why I got to be a little, ideologically opposed to this film is because after Barbie, Mattel is raiding its entire toy box. So because they were like testing this was kind of the testing balloon, because no movie now is made to not be part of a cinematic universe.
Right.
They're going to be making the Mattel Cinematic Universe, and I'm trying to find the exact number. But if I remember, it was in the 20s of movies that they've basically already been like, yeah, we're going to make a movie based on this toy and this toy and this toy. And this is something that they apparently started about 5 years ago.
Right. Yeah, so we're seeing the first prong in a multi-pronged approach from the Mattel Corporation.
Oh, sorry. I was wrong. It wasn't 20. It was 45.
Oh!
45 films from the newly minted Mattel Studios, including Hot Wheels, Barney, and Major Matt Mason.
Okay, that's really exciting. I can't wait for the Major Matt Mason movie.
She's Polly, she's Pocket, and this summer, she's gonna rock it. That's right, Polly Pocket has joined ISIS in her new film.
Yeah!
Men going their own way? What about He-Man going his own way? That's right, coming this summer. He-Man. Sorry, let's see. Well, some of the titles are American Girl. Actually, I'm going to skip this one because it's the funniest one. Major Matt Mason, okay. Matchbox, Masters of the Universe, so He-Man is one of them. Polly Pocket. Wow, I said that as a joke. Did not know that was actually on this list. Rock'em Sock'em Robots. That's going to be probably pretty bad. Uno and Viewmaster. And then the one I skipped, Magic 8 Ball.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I want to direct the Magic 8 Ball movie, actually.
The reason that's the funniest, everything else on there is at least, like, you see that. You could imagine that there's a brand attached to it. Who is like, oh man, I have such emotional attachment to the Magic 8 Ball.
Me, bitch. You could make such a fucking Ouija board movie about the Magic 8 Ball.
It would be cool if they go for like a Say Cheese and Die kind of horror film.
Yeah, exactly. Goosebumps. Just goosebumps that shit.
So I think the correct impulse here is that I'm hoping everybody enjoys this film, who enjoys it, that we all have fun, and that literally whatever the next one in this is, it just immediately goes back into the Dark Universe Pictures territory. Just flop after flop after flop.
Well, I mean, if the checks and balances of the movie industry are in place correctly and working as intended, none of this fucking shit that you just said will come to pass, and it'll all die in, you know, on the so-called cutting room floor in the meeting rooms.
So it's all going to be in development hell. We're never going to get Nicolas Cage as the Magic 8 Ball.
Oh, God, no!
Oh, you know what? I bet you that's probably what the Magic 8 Ball movie is going to be. It's probably going to be a Cage film.
Yeah.
Because they're all about the, like, ironic, funny Nicolas Cage things now. And that's probably, like, the smart money is that they're going to do one of those with Nick Cage. He was already in the fucking Flash movie. Like, he'll do anything. Mm-hmm. They're going to do something like that, and they're going to try to bank on that little, like, funny Cage.
Right.
Oh, remember Mandy? Wasn't it silly when his wife died and he was upset?
yeah.
Like,
the Meme Man.
Meme Man, oh, really? Tell me more about how carbon emissions offset global warming. I don't know.
this movie is highly referential towards, I guess I would say, like, early Hollywood stuff. Practical effects. That's the big thing here. So much practical stuff. Set design. We have dream ballet sequences, the likes of which have not been seen since. Features such as Singin' in the Rain. I don't know. This is a weird sort of old Hollywood feeling movie that has just kind of sprung out of nowhere in 2023. It's kind of sad that, like, this level of intricacy in set design and production design is pretty much reserved to something that's paid for by a toy company. I don't think that's spectacular. Can you think, I don't know, are there other examples of something kind of like to this scale and of this nature that
what's that movie that they thought that they said won and beat Moonlight?
La La Land. Oh, God. Yeah. You're right. You're right. Never mind.
The problem is that it's one of those, but it's not made to jerk off old Hollywood people.
Yes.
Which is why it's actually interesting.
Yes, and Greta Gerwig, kind of in tandem with Noah Baumbach, maybe seems a little into the idea of jerking off old Hollywood people. I mean, there's this Letterboxd interview that she does, I don't know. Barbie is really in conversation with the 30s through the 60s, let's say.
I think that's partially like a thing about this movie that to me is the most compelling, is that the most interesting stuff you can say about the metatextual things have nothing to do with the actual stuff it's saying.
Yeah.
It has to do with like the way the film approaches like artifice in film. And even the way it approaches like playing gender by having like basically adults be socialized as their gender, which I'm gonna be the first to say it, really compelling T for T metaphor.
yeah, it's kind
of
special.
The amount of trans dudes I've known who have actually literally had the Ken experience of, wow, everyone's looking at me and it's not with an undercurrent of violence, it's like they just respect me. Real, it's a real thing.
I am suddenly feeling a very marked undercurrent of violence. An overcurrent of violence, if you will.
No, that's great. Like, I like this weird, like, I don't even know if it's an unintentional subtext, but because the film is so obsessed with, like, the artifice of Barbie, but as, like, a metaphor for, like, concepts versus humanity, it ends up being, like, more interesting in what it has to say about the artifice of films such as itself.
Yeah.
Which even makes me wonder if, like, maybe there was a draft of this film that was, like, a lot stronger and more pointed in those themes that kind of had to get, like, what the crap? This is supposed to be about refurbishing our image, is, like, you know, our fucking... You saw that Robot Chicken sketch. Oh, people only care about Monster High dolls anymore. They don't care about Barbie. You gotta get out there and make them care about Barbie again. Do references. Do references. Reference our product. Reference our product. You can make a joke about the gay joke one.
Yeah, make jokes about the gay dolls we did, but we gotta put a thing in the credits so that people know we're not gonna make any more of them.
Yeah.
Which pissed me off when I saw that shit, I'm gonna be honest.
It was so weird because it's like, I know why there's lines like, that's Sugar Daddy doll and like Magic Earring Ken. Those are real dolls they made. I know is because, like, people are dumb and would just assume that they were fake characters for the film. And it's like, no, we got to tell them that these are real dolls. But, like, I'm a millennial. I know about gay doll. I know about gay earring Ken.
Yeah.
I'm seeing the fucking Barbie movie. Of course I know about gay earring Ken.
Who doesn't know about gay earring Ken?
It's iconic. That's like saying that would be like they did this version for, like, Harry Potter bullshit in, like, 10 years, and they referenced the, like, vibrating broomstick. And they're like, that was a real thing they made.
What did you think of the character that played the ghost of the real-ass woman who supposedly designed Barbie but didn't design shit? She based it off some German guy's doll.
I didn't know that. That's really funny that they referenced the tax fraud thing, but not that. Okay, so that wasn't her then.
No, it, she's dead.
Okay.
They reanimated a dead corpse woman to...
I think making a joke about her having tax fraud is fine. I think making a joke about her having a double mastectomy when she's dead is not. Because when she said that line, I was like, whoa, that's really dark that they got her to, like, make a joke about, like, what I assume was her own breast cancer.
Okay.
But then it's like, but now knowing that it's like, oh no, she's actually dead, it's like, I don't know how I feel about them making a joke about the fact that she had breast cancer.
Okay, Jay, let's be fair. The line about the double mastectomy wasn't really a joke. The line about smallpox killing swaths of Native Americans was a joke, however. That was delivered as a joke.
The double mastectomy line was kind of a joke. She's like, I'm like no one looks like Barbie. I'm like a small 49-year-old lady. I'm like a small little
Old bitch with no tits.
Yeah, with a double mastectomy and tax evasion.
And I got, like, no titties, like, and I'm crazy.
I was like, that's a line where if you actually got that person to say it would be funny. The fact that it's not that person is like, I don't know if that's an okay joke to make. Because, like, I know why women usually have to get double mastectomies at her age.
I don't know if the whole thing is okay, frankly. What? Hey, if they're going to, like, make a real dead woman be played by an actor, then why is Will Ferrell just some, like, amalgamation CEO? Why isn't he named as, like, the guy that runs Mattel, you know what I mean?
That's true. Yeah, that's true. I do assume that to an extent the Will Ferrell is also pulling double duty as, like, head of, like, studio, like fucking pulling double duty for whatever fucking Greta Gerwig's, like, grudges are.
Sure.
But no, I think that's fair. No, I think that's a fair point to be like, why is the dead woman played for laughs by people who are alive, but the living CEO gets to be an anonymized character for jokes about him that are not about his actual real life and death?
Yeah. Yeah, his imminent death. You know,
at the hands of the Barbie Liberation Front.
At the hands of the Barbs. At least they did... They did one thing right in getting Nicki Minaj on that song at the end.
That banged. That like fucked. I stayed in the theater to listen to that song.
It's insanely funny of them to come out with a press release statement that was basically like, no Barbie girl is not going to be in the movie. Stop asking.
Wait, what? Barbie girl?
Barbie girl, the song by Aqua that Mattel famously hated and like tried to sue them over because it has the line undress me anywhere. Yeah. But then it is in the movie just in remix form with Ice Spice and Nicki Minaj. And it's actually a really good remix.
No, it's I that fucks. I was gonna say, I was like, if we don't talk about that, we do have to talk at least about how much that's. I'm gonna listen to it right now.
Not while we're recording.
Oh, I forgot about until Nicki Minaj referenced it in her music video, the weird macro Margot Robbie scene. I do kind of like that was stupid, but I do like opening your movie with a bunch of children killing their baby dolls. I noticed that we both are kind of talking around the feminist messaging of the film, and I just want to put a little pin on that and say, fuck, everyone's fucking talking about it, and it's so annoying already anyway. Like, wow, Ben Shapiro didn't like that the movie used the word patriarchy. Better go give Mattel $1 billion.
Yeah.
Was the feminism good? Was the feminism bad? It's the Barbie movie.
Yeah.
What do you want to watch a feminist movie? You're not going to see it at the AMC theaters.
They're not going to be playing it.
Yeah.
Because you're not ready, kid. You're not ready, small fry. The truth, you can't handle the truth. That Chantel Ackerman shit? Are you kidding me? You're not fucking prepared.
You know this thing where it's like the big radical departure from normal films is that she doesn't want to date and get with Ken at the end of the movie? There's movies where that's just not on the table.
There's movies where you don't even have to worry about her fucking the man. It's impossible to talk about in a way that's not annoying or kind of inadequate because the movie itself is inadequate, right? Like it's not discussing feminism. It's discussing feminism through this lens of consumption and identification with essentially a product.
I would say that really the movie is about like the failures and limitations of feminism.
Yes. And capitalist feminism. We got to be.
Yeah.
Very clear here and very specific, and we've got to use the big bad words that the people don't want to hear.
I feel like that, like, you could analyze the sort of success of the Barbie girls thing and how it does the, like, oh, we'll use our feminine coded traits that and behaviors that are imposed upon us by society as our strengths, but that there's no, like, creation of an equitable world in that case.
Yeah. Yeah, like I kind of
like the bit of like, what if Barbie world had like the same political structure as like the real world but inverse?
Right.
I mean, it's a very like liberal feminism, like capitalist feminism 101 thing. But like I can kind of see where it's going for there, but it still doesn't really arrive at any conclusion on that, because then it's like, but in this world, men are still dumb and like mansplaining.
Yeah, yeah, and the sort of like the power structure is like very tenuous and kind of shifting on a dime and. I don't know. Like, the movie's biting off a lot in terms of, you know, what it's trying to kind of chew through and those feelings, so to speak. Because I think that there is a recognition, some sort of sense of womanhood generally. Like, this kind of, like, wink from a subjugated person to another subjugated person under the sort of under patriarchy. Let's be real. Patriarchy, it's real. Listen, we're all adults here. We knew the Barbie movie wasn't gonna save us. But it's weird and awkward watching it kind of try.
Yeah.
I do really love how it treats the mother character and how both the mother and the child are sort of given this childlike but not infantilizing, but maybe you could argue infantilizing, however you pronounce it, gaze. Where to me it kind of came across as empathetic, but at the same time a little bit underdeveloped.
Yeah, I was gonna say my big problem is I really like the dynamic and like the characterization of those characters, but then almost the second they get back to Barbie Land, they're just kind of there.
Yeah,
like they're there to give off one-liners, and then it's like, well, our arc is over now because of that thing we went through. On kind of off to the side of the screen.
Yeah. Did we really need it? Did we need them?
Like, there are random cameo Barbie characters that get more screen time and character arc than the mom and daughter.
I know, Hari practically.
Yeah. Speaking of, lost my fucking shit when the creator of Barbie shows up and just Hari's just full-throated, just like vocal-tearing scream. Fucking losing in the theater. Girl had one take and she gave it her fucking all.
We enter into kind of yet another awkward situation regarding a film that's purporting to be feminist, where kind of a lot of the discussion is about the male actor upstaging the woman actor, which is made more awkward by the fact that he does upstage Margot Robbie, and it kind of is Ryan Gosling's movie. He's so entertaining. He's so funny.
He's literally just too charismatic.
He's like too good. They like begged him to be in the movie and he was like, bet. Fucking bet. And yeah, I think the naysayers have been hushed. The coups have been quashed. Ken is Ryan's role. And yeah, and that's all there is to say about it.
He really was right. This is kind of his best role.
Yeah.
Like it folks, it is simply sad to say. it is his role. Part of that is that he's a complicated goofball himbo who's also kind of a piece of shit, but is also like kind of like endearing and understandable from like what he's dealing with. And Margot Robbie's character is like written to be more of a plot engine. So I think a big part of that is that Ken gets to be in all of the scenes as his character, and Barbie gets to be in probably about 20 to 30% of her scenes as like the plot driven, as like the engine of the film.
Yeah. And I mean, that stuff's interesting because you get this like character arc for both, where it's like this 8-year-old crayon drawing version of how people are affected by real life gender roles and patriarchy, where Ken is inspired to basically like emotionally and personally stagnate, whereas like, you know, they both come from the same like kind of happy-go-lucky subjectivity that's like kind of ungendered largely for the first part of the movie in ways, or rather like the ways in which they're gendered in the first part of the movie is all about just like self-expression and like silliness and fun. But then like as soon as they're exposed to real life society, they're almost like tainted. And like Ken, you know, kind of almost ruins society, and Barbie is subjected to these like greater structures that kind of force her to be way less happy-go-lucky than she is in the first half, and force her to make like really hard decisions and like mount a resistance, and you know, engage with like the type of analytical thinking that like Ken is privileged enough to not really engage with. I don't know. That stuff was in kind of like the grander scheme of things, I thought that stuff was like astute and interesting and fun-ish.
I think it's also interesting too, because it's essentially there's a conflict that is presented early on in the film that neither character has the emotional or literally like character development wherewithal to navigate, which is both this, well, we're Barbie and Ken, so we have to be boyfriend girlfriend, but we don't really have any sense of what that means, and so there's no real discussion of the expectations that are on that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that great line of Ken about like, I don't exist without your gaze, which is a great inversion of the concept of male gaze, basically.
Yeah.
The bit about like, well, where do the Kens sleep? And she's just like, oh, I don't know. And they don't really acknowledge it, which kind of does suggest that maybe the Kens basically don't exist if the Barbies aren't there to look at them. And so I like that the film introduces that very artificial, you know, literalization of these concepts kind of thing. And then whereas Barbie starts to navigate these things because she is essentially gaining consciousness, Ken is filled instead with male socialization and concepts like patriarchy, and he sees those as means to correct these problems, not because he necessarily understands what the problems are, but because those are what are presented as solutions to him, which does work really great as a metaphor for rendering socialization. And I think that's also partially why like his arc ends up being maybe more compelling, is because whereas Barbie's is sort of a general self-actualization with a girl's coming of age story, Ken's ends up dealing a lot more directly with this idea of like what happens when a teen boy, for example, has a problem and there's no tools that are given to him to solve it other than stereotypical male behavior.
Right.
Also enjoy it because it's like, while that's happening, they're also just like, he's just still so fucking like homoerotic and campy.
Yeah, all of the Kens, something, just an aura, an experience, an energy there. Lots of eye candy in those dream ballet sequences.
It's so good. They're so good. It's so funny. It's so like smart to just do it as like these characters like are just performing these actions because they're like, it's what they kind of like vaguely know and understand, but their actual dynamics like on the interpersonal level are just nothing like that.
Right.
Was not a fan of the John Cena jump scare. They should have cut that out. I didn't like that.
It's a whim that they put him in the movie, and it's the wrong whim.
Yeah, it's a whim that they should have inhibited.
Get out of here, wrestle boy, sweaty boy.
This is a dolls movie.
This is a doll film. Go back to your fists. We kind of have this, like, new school of white feminist filmmaking, and I'm all for it.
It is a very nice escape from the like 2 or 3 years ago problem of like the Charlie's Angels reboot or like the female Ghostbusters approach to feminist filmmaking, to pop feminist filmmaking.
Thanks for coming in and talking about, you know, I mean these things we have to talk about them, like, as much as people can chide and be misogynist and sexist and kind of try to craft a world where you're not allowed to talk about the fucking patriarchy, but it's there. It affects everybody. It's fucking bullshit. And, you know, just because it's cynical corporate IP branded dog shit, hog shit from a pig's ass, you know, it doesn't mean it can't make some points, right?
I still don't think they should be alive.
Who?
Oh. The Barbies.
Oh, yeah.
And the Kens.
Yeah.
Any toy, really.
Yeah, toys, let's just kind of
get back in your box, toys.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think that I provided them the Barbie dream house that they were quite hoping for. It was really more, it was giving more Rubbermaid, spider webs. I mean, if there was a giant spider in the movie, do you think it would have been better?
Oh yeah, no, they should have been a giant. Wild Wild West it.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, just like have crossover, get... It's a huge IP. You can do crossover shit. You can have her hanging out with like Bionicles or
Where's the teaser ending where, I don't know, Play-Doh walks in and is like, Barbie, we're gonna need you for a new toy box.
Where's the version where she's like stuffed under the bed next to a dusty copy of Glover?
Where's the world where she meets Glover? That's what I want to know.
Glover movie. That's my childhood, bitch.
That's $1 million idea.
Gex movie.
Get on it, Credit. Come on, Noah. Noah Baumbach, that's yours.
That's all for you.
That's money on the table that you're leaving there.
Noah, hit my business email. We think we can make some moves here.
But they shouldn't be alive.